To the line we'll head.
Here we are.
Here we are. Episode 2 of season 2. And we are back again.
On a roll.
With our most special guest, Mr. Dave Munnings from QME Agility.
Hello.
From England.
England, UK.
England, UK. Is that what you say?
I don't know.
Do you think it's weird that we just say England?
No, because I always say England.
Oh, okay.
Some people say UK, then some people say GB, and I actually have no idea what the difference is.
We don't either.
You know, when you have to do those things, when you fill in forms on the internet, you have to do the drop-down menu. It's asking what country. I have to check England, UK, and GB, because I'm never sure which one is going to be.
And they're all different letters.
And it's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
You never know, because each one's going to be different. Mm. So it's a pain.
Wow. Well, on that note,
that's another podcast.
Yeah.
That's a whole other podcast. Exactly. Today, we wanted to talk to you guys about instructor hopping. And I'm not going to lie, Jamie and I have had this topic on our list of let's talk about this for basically before episode 1 of season 1. But I will tell you that we haven't talked about it yet because it's a hot topic. And we have some opinions about it. I'm making it sound really bad right now.
There's some good things too.
But there are some good things. So we're going to talk about some good things. We're going to talk about some opinions. And keep in mind, we are three people that compete in agility, but we are also three people that are instructors. We are coaches. And so I think that we do come from some different perspectives because we are on both sides of the story.
Definitely.
It also is quite funny that we're talking about instructor hopping and we have another instructor that has hopped his way all the way over from England to work with us, which is,
I think, the UK.
Or the UK, yeah. Or GB.
Whichever one it is.
Yeah,
one
you of guys, those. You can pick.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think that's why this topic came to light, because we do have somebody that's come in to teach all of us that is different than us. And obviously we see the benefits of it as well. Otherwise we wouldn't have you here.
Well, that's nice. I'm
yeah. Glad. Thank God you're going home though. I'm just kidding.
You're gonna miss
I don't
you
want you to go home. I actually might cry when you leave. I love you so much.
That's deep.
I know. Anyways, okay, so let's start off with the good stuff. Let's start off with the positives. So what are the benefits of going to different instructors to learn from them? James, start us off.
Different sequences.
Okay, explain.
Well, sometimes you just get used to the same flavor of a sequence, the same trends. It's just like when you do trials with different judges, they have a specific thing about them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same.
Yeah, that is totally true.
Definitely.
For sure.
If you always set the same sequences up, your style of sequences, how are you going to improve?
Mm-hmm.
It's always, you can do yours, but you're not judging yourself.
No.
So that's a good one.
Yep, that is a good one.
Yeah.
What about you, Dave?
Ask the question again.
What's the benefit of learning from different instructors?
So, you know, everyone, I think.
What's the question?
I got distracted. So everyone, even if you're saying the same stuff, everyone has a different way of explaining it.
Yes.
So, you know, I can tell my students something and they might listen, hopefully, or I get irritated. But you could say it in a different way and they would just get it like mm-hmm. that. They might not get it how I'm saying it.
So. It was like on Friday when you were telling all of my students about what arms to use on threadles, and they were looking at you like you had just said something so magical.
I
wanted to go into a tunnel and die because it is legit what I say. And I was like...
Funnily enough, you couldn't hold it in.
I couldn't take it any longer because their faces were so surprised. And I thought,
he is
guys,
so clever.
I know. Don't let him have all the credit. I say this too.
You say this too, you idiots. Listen.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, I enjoyed that moment because I would be exactly the same with my students. I'd be like,
what?
I say that. Why are you listening to me? She's not that amazing.
She's not inventing the wheel.
Yes.
I drive the same wheel.
Exactly. Stop thinking she's way better than me.
Oh my God, that was really funny.
Yeah.
But no, you are right. I think sometimes it's helpful to like tag off and be like,
yeah.
I've tried to say this, but it's not getting through to them. So your turn. but you're right. That is a good point. I think sometimes too, when you coach someone on a regular basis, I think sometimes you get really used to some things.
Definitely.
So then when you get a fresh pair of eyes on them and they're like, oh, hey, you do this thing. It's kind of like, oh yeah, they do that thing. There's a few things that you said this weekend to my students that I think to myself, oh yeah, I know that they do that, but I just see them do it so much that I don't nitpick about it maybe anymore. Exactly. And I don't even know if I do it consciously. I think it's subconscious, right? But that's really, really helpful. A fresh pair of eyes can be really, really great.
There's things I think my students just know or should know. So I just then don't bother saying it because I think it's obvious because I've said it a million times, but then...
Like the off arm on a threadle.
Exactly. But when someone else comes in and says it and they look surprised, you think, oh, maybe I haven't been saying that recently.
Yeah.
Or you just weren't bloody listening to me.
Yeah.
Probably that one. So it is so good to have someone explain something in a slightly different way, set up different sequences to test something that obviously, like, I like testing a lot of distance threadles with off arms.
Yep.
And I obviously set that a lot in my... With a little sneaky layer.
A little tunnel there.
I know you like those ones.
Oh, I do.
So, you're just testing slightly different skills, which is what you were saying about different style of courses and stuff. Yes. So, I think that's where it's really beneficial. But as long as they are quite similar, luckily we are.
Yeah, and I think that's the kicker we need to talk about now. Yeah. Because I think if you are going to... learn from different instructors and different people, you really should be quite solid in a few things yourself. You should be solid in your dog training beliefs and what your comfortability is. You should be pretty secure in like your own handling system. Not that you need to come up with your own handling system, but what you follow and what works well for you and your dog, so that when you are receiving different pieces of information, you can decide right then and there whether it complements what you do or whether you don't. And I think, one of the reasons why I bring you over and I've brought some of the other people that I've choose to bring over, it's because I know they're in line with what I do, and that anything that you say to my students are only going to amplify them.
Not going to confuse them.
That's right. It's only going to build or say things differently or add or whatever it's going to be. It's not going to be like, oh, now I'm so confused and Dave says this and Kale says this and now I don't know what to do. I know that's not going to happen to them. You also can't like go to every person and be like, you can't go anywhere. We're never going to say to somebody, you didn't. You can't.
I like it.
Yeah. You can't go somewhere else because everybody has to make their own decisions that way.
I think it's important that people do go to other people, but I think my regular students, I don't tell them who they can't go to, but I kind of encourage them who to go to if they're going to go to someone else. You know, my group of friends were all trainers, so I don't mind them going to pretty much any of them. So we're all going to say something very, very similar.
Yep.
The odd little thing that's different. Mm-hmm. But my regulars, I would say, even if they go somewhere else and they get told something different by one of my friends, I'd say, yeah, but I actually still want you to do it my way because you're my regular student. Yep. I am a bit forceful with that because I know it works, and it goes together with everything else I've told them to do.
Mm-hmm. And you know the dog.
Exactly, I know the dog better. But, but when I train their, when I train their regular students and they come to me and I say, oh, I know Nora and Martin tell you to do it that way, so that's fine, you can do it that way, as long as it's working.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not working, say, well, give this a go, but then you've got to make your own mind up on what works better. But this is, you've got to give the reasons why you're telling them to do something maybe slightly differently.
Yep.
And then they have to use their own brains to an extent.
Yeah,
but I don't try and force change on people that I know are already being trained by someone I respect. But if they're being trained by someone I maybe don't respect as much, then I maybe am a little bit more forceful because I know my way will work better.
Yeah. Fair.
That's it. Full stop.
I completely agree.
Period.
Full stop. Oh, ow. We're drinking water in these mugs, which is normally we drink wine when we do this, but it's in the middle of the morning, so that wasn't happening. I was going to say something about what you were just saying. Oh, I really appreciate, I have a few students that live at a distance, so they don't actively train with me all the time. And sometimes when they have like people coming to do seminars, I really appreciate when they message me and they're like, hey, this person's coming to teach, like, do you think I should go? Yes, or do you think like this person will compliment like what you do? I love that because then I'm either like, yes, go to that person. Like, you'll love it. Or I can say, I don't think that's going to like jive with like what you're doing, because I truly, as we all do, I truly want to make sure that I'm setting that person up to get like the best information possible. And I don't want to give the dog conflicting information. Like I'm not, it's, this isn't a, you need to train with me thing.
No.
This is, I truly feel that this is going to benefit you in your growth as a competitor, as a trainer, or whatever it might be.
And some people are strong enough, they come to me and they say, okay, you do throttle wraps, say with the, or this arm, I do with that arm. And I said, and they say, I don't want to change. And I go, okay. You know, I say, you know, I'm right, but if you really don't want to change, I'm not going
to. Then you make it your mission for the rest of the weekend to prove to them why.
I set the sequences to prove that what they're doing is wrong. Get them to fail, so then they know I'm right. But yeah, and you know, if someone really says, and they're that confident in what they're doing is right, then that's great, because they obviously know their dogs, they know what they've trained them, and I actually quite respect that. And I don't mind my students going to some, I know some students, some instructors will not actually try and change anything, they'll just set courses. And that's great, because doing the different courses, like Jamie said, is brilliant, because you need to be able to do a variety of everything. So those ones I'm saying, yeah, go, they're going to set you some really cool courses, test your skills, that's excellent. But if I know they're going to go to a trainer that's going to really try and change stuff, that's going to be almost opposite to what we do, I go, well, you've got to be really careful, because if you do that, that you are going to be confused, which is going to confuse your dog, and then you're going to get gray areas, then you're going to get irritated, and it's all going to go wrong.
I find that with contacts, that's the most challenging part, the criteria for contacts when you're going to different instructors, because each person trains it a little bit differently. And then if there's a problem, it's hard to problem solve when they've trained it
definitely
a different way.
Yeah.
Which is okay. It's just I don't know that way.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've had the same struggles when people don't do their foundation training with us, and then they come to us afterwards, and then there's major holes, or there's very different things, or contact methods. Like we, for the lack of a better word, hate the four-on teeter totter. I hate it. I can't stand it. I could go do a whole podcast on why I think it's not the best way to do the teeter totter, because I know in X amount of time, I can tell you 10 faults that are going to happen with that dog. So like, anyways.
That's another podcast.
Teeter-totter.
Yeah, teeter-totter.
Seesaw.
Seesaw.
I think teeter-totter is so much cuter.
Teeter-totter.
Really?
Teeter-totter.
I think seesaw sounds kind of fancy.
Seesaw.
Seesaw.
Teeter-totter.
Teeter-totter.
Yeah. Anyways, but that's challenging, because then they come to us and their dogs are making mistakes, but they literally, like, I can't really help them too much other than say, like, keep doing that and whatever, or like retrain it to the way we do it, and then I can tell you everything you need to know about it.
Very hard if they haven't done the foundations. Like I know the students that come that have done either Dan's foundations or my foundations,
they complement each other.
Yeah, they're just better. I know, not that people, not if they've gone to good people, but if they haven't before been someone who I would personally thinks pretty good, then you can just tell there's holes all over the place, and then they're wondering why things aren't happening. Like, well, you need to go back, but the people don't like going back.
No,
lots of people just like keep moving forward, doing the sexy stuff.
That's
right. They want to go and do the boring stuff.
I like that stuff.
Me too. But that's also why our dogs are as good as they are, is because we take the time. And if we see a little bit of a hole, we want to go and fix it rather than going on, because we know big picture, we have a very clear vision of what our goals are for our dogs, and we know what it takes to get there. And if it takes us a little longer time, we know at the end of the day, the product that we're going to get is better. People often just, they want to get into the ring, or they want to get to the tryouts, or they want to get to the thing, and they train something that lasts 6 months, where we know it's important to do something for the long haul.
Yeah.
Anyways, different direction. We've talked about the benefits of going to a different instructor. And the benefit is, if that person is in line with what you're doing, and you know, you agree with it, and it fits the mold, then you can get a lot out of it. I want to talk now about the benefits of staying with the same coach. Once you find a coach that works for you, because all coaches are different, and you shouldn't just stay with any old coach. You need to make sure like that coach is fitting. So maybe we can talk about A, what makes a coach fitting, and B, what are the major benefits of having the same person coach you all the time?
Consistency.
Consistency is key. Really is. Just being consistent. It doesn't have to be a specific way, but be consistent with the way you're doing it. And, you know, if you go to the same person, you know, all the people that I know stick with me and have done for years are good. They're all really good. But, you know, I have a few people that have come, gone away, tried to come back, gone away, and then they're just messy.
Yep.
It's just lacking things because they haven't had consistent training. Some bits are good, some bits are awful because it's just, they've got so confused over things. And to be honest, these days I'm in a position where I can, if they go, if they're training them a lot and all of a sudden they go for whatever reason, sometimes I just don't know, maybe it's just, you know, you always have to pick the trainer. Also, you get on with the personality.
Yeah, it's relationship.
It's not just about what they're telling you. You could be the absolute best dog trainer in the world, but you know, they just don't get on with that person.
Yeah,
and that's fine. That's great. But find someone you get on with that you're going to have a good bit of banter with, and you're going to laugh with. That is also super important to make your dog training fun. So otherwise, you're just going to be not enjoying it. And even though you're getting good dog training advice, you're not taking it in because you're not enjoying yourself.
Yeah. The other thing too is like, as coaches, we train and grow and we evolve and we change things sometimes and we make changes to our things. And if you are with us along the journey, then you are going to grow in those ways as well. Yeah. If you go and come back and go and come back and you're like, well, you do this now. Yeah I've evolved. I've grown.
People say all the time, oh, you've changed that. I'm like, no, I've evolved it.
Yeah. I'm not staying in a box.
You saw the benefits.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm updating. What I'm doing, that's what makes us continually good. We've been good for a long time.
Maybe you can listen to our episode one where we talk about growth and being vulnerable and always trying to make sure that you never feel like you're the best. Like that plug. The other thing that I think is really great about working with the same person all the time is, you know, we really get to know our students' dogs. Yes. Sometimes I think I know their verbals and their contacts and what training aids they need in and what handling they need to do on that course. I know it better than they do.
When the dog's done.
Yes, like we can make those decisions, you know, and that way when you're at a trial and you're like, Kale, what am I supposed to do 8 and 9? I'm thinking about doing this. I can say, you're never going to get there, babes. You're doing a rear cross there because I know, and I'm able to give you that feedback because I know the dog and the person so well. I think that's another benefit of being with the same person all the time is I feel that there's a difference between an instructor and a coach. It's a completely different relationship. It's a completely different level of feedback and commitment to you. It's just deeper.
I think we're very similar. We get really passionate about our teaching. I love teaching.
Me too.
And I love seeing success. I just want people to do well. I really truly want them to do well and enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so, I don't particularly like giving advice unless I'm asked for it. It shows, because when it goes wrong, you then get the blame.
But you told me to do this.
I know, and I'm like, yeah, but you didn't do it right. You didn't do it. I told you to do it. You
did it. I said to do it after 8, and you did it before 8.
You just did it too slow. So yeah, I always think, and I see them walking, and I think, well, it's not going to work. But unless they actually ask me, I don't like to get involved, because in case it goes wrong, then you get the blame, and you know, I don't want to just stick my nose in. Well, yeah. I do want to, but I feel like I should.
And part of competing is that people need to learn to do it independently.
Exactly.
Can't have their hand held all the time.
When someone comes to me at training and goes, oh, I've been to this person and they've told me this, you could probably hear my eye roll from here. I think, oh my God, especially if it's someone who's not particularly experienced. And, you know, I'm not saying they're not great dog trainers if they're not experienced, but I just think you've been doing it my way for years and you've suddenly decided you wanted to try that. But it's working.
I know. Why?
Don't fix it if it's not broken. Oh, just because someone told you something doesn't mean it's gospel truth. Even if they've had, you know, lots of people, we have a lot of dog trainers in the UK. Everyone is a professional dog trainer these days because everyone can just work all over the place and outside all year round. Don't have to have buildings and stuff.
Right.
So we get a lot of people offering a lot of advice, even when they've had one good dog. Mm-hmm. Like one good agility dog does not make you an amazing dog trainer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get lucky.
I know. Like,
lots of people do just get one lucky dog.
You see this all the time.
Yeah, and it does drive me and my friends crazy. Like, I've had a lot of good dogs now, same as you. You know, I think we've proven ourselves again and again that we can train lots of different style of dogs. Mm-hmm. But if people have only had one good dog, they don't have the background knowledge to help something when something goes wrong. Anyone can teach someone how to train a threadle.
Yeah.
Anyone can teach someone how to train something easy, like, you know, any push around.
Backside,
anything.
Yeah.
But they can't teach. So when it goes wrong and there's issues, they don't know how to problem solve. Because I think when you've had a lot of dogs,
and different dogs.
Yeah. We've trained thousands of people. Thousands of dogs. And I've had over 10 agility dogs now, and they're all so different. You know, that, like you're saying, knowing the dogs. And I really do truly believe I could problem solve nearly any problem in some form and help people out.
Yep.
But other people just can't. And they tell them this stuff. And I think they said they told me this. And I think, what the? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. It can be, like, from our perspective, it can be a little bit frustrating sometimes when you feel like you've really set somebody up for success and you've given them lots of information and then they come back and they're like, oh, well, I'm doing it this way now. It's kind of like, okay.
Sometimes it's just not being patient with the process.
Yeah. Like people want quick fixes.
Yes.
Quick
and there's not a quick fix to some problems.
Good point, Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sometimes you need to go in deep and
I say that. Wait. People say, how am I going to fix this? I say, well, it's not going to be today.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's a long process.
Especially whenever you're retraining something.
Mm-hmm. And someone said this to me recently. And I don't train her regularly, but I know she trains with a couple of my friends. And her dog doesn't commit to something. And she said, I train it a lot. And I always just go, oh, you know, keep rewarding the wing, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, right, I'm fed up with it now. How am I going to fix it? I said, well, you just need to take your dog out of all competitions. You need to do nothing.
That's part of it too, though.
You need to do nothing but do this. And she said, oh, I've got a competition next week. So it went well. I said, it won't work. You've got to do it.
Like the context.
Yeah. You know what, though? She did it. And she sends me videos now. And I don't train her regularly. She doesn't even do online with me. But she did exactly what I said. And now she sends me videos. The dog is committing so well. Because she did listen. But people don't always want... I said, I don't like telling you this because most people won't do it. Mm-hmm. But I am going to tell you because you asked. And this is how I would fix it. And she has done it. And the dog is something never going to be 100% because it's got commitment issues. But it's 95% better.
Yeah.
And she listened, and I'm so impressed with her for listening like that.
I love those stories.
Yeah, that was a fun story.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it too. I'm telling it.
I think that from a coaching's perspective, I think sometimes it is challenging for us to like be totally honest with our students.
It is.
Because you don't always know how it's going to be perceived. And I mean, Jamie and I have opinions on everybody. Sorry, guys, we love all of you, but we have opinions on all of you and all of your dogs. And for the most part, we have a good enough relationship with them that we can say, hey, like, I know this is your goal. I know you want to make a world team. I know you want to get a title. I know you want to do that thing. So this is what I think you need to do to get there. And 99% of the people are
open.
So open to it. But there are some people that we have come across over the years in various situations where I've misread the person and felt that I could tell them what I really felt. And it didn't know because, you know, because I noticed things all like, will work so hard on in a private lesson or in class on like collection or the dog walk or whatever it might be. And like you start to see a glimmer of progress and then you don't see them for a bit and then they come back for another lesson and it is completely unraveled. Mm-hmm. And you think, what have you been doing this whole time? Yeah. And, oh, well, I did this trial. I went to this person. I did that. It's like, oh my God. Like if you would just stick to the program and stop competing, you would actually make change, but then they're frustrated. Well, it's not my fault. You're frustrated. You didn't follow the prescription.
I hate that. And then they say, who do you train with? Oh, I train with this person, like us. And then it makes us look bad.
I know.
It's like, why didn't we tell you to do that? You went elsewhere. And I find it incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. It's like,
I have my core group of students that I know I can say to whatever to, mm-hmm. and they will listen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to be a bit tough on them. I had one the other day, his dog not running quite right. Just looks a bit weird back and not lame, just not powerful. And I said, right, you need to give it at least 2 weeks off. It's got Crufts coming up. You need to give it at least 2 weeks off of doing nothing. She said, then she messaged me next day. I've got a course run thing on Wednesday. I had him checked out. He seems fine. I said, well, I wouldn't do it with him. She goes, well, I'll take it back up. I said, well, don't come back crying to me when he's either lame, not jumping right, or getting really slow times, because I will say, I told you so. And she literally was like, and I said, I am doing this to help you.
Yeah,
it's not me being
love,
an asshole.
Tough love.
I'm just doing it to help you. I want you to go to Crufts and do well. You got on the best small dogs in the country. Mm-hmm. So she did. She cancelled it. And then I saw the next day on Facebook, she's letting it jump in the river.
Oh.
I messaged her, that is not arresting your dog. And she's like, oh, but he's only swimming. I said, arrest is arrest. And then that is not arresting. Stop doing things. And so now I've told her, she's a good friend as well. I can tell her.
Yep.
I know she's been a student a long time and she did listen, but you do have to be a bit strict with that one. But I truly want the best for them.
I know, me too. Yeah. Me too.
It's all coming from a good place.
It is.
People just don't always like criticism.
No, but I think that's what happens when you coach someone for a long time and you do have that relationship, you are able to say, look, you need to do this or you are not going to get where you need to go and you need to be prepared to do the work. And this might not be what you want to hear.
Like talent, right? Like,
yes.
You know they can win.
You're like, oh, if you would just do this one thing, you would be so good.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. That can be really challenging for sure. I think I think instructor hopping can be, I think it can be really detrimental, honestly. I see personally, and you guys might disagree with me, but for me, those people that I teach that go to a bunch of different people, I would say are never as good as the people who I teach all the time. And this isn't a self plug. This is just simply about consistency. I think that across the board, those people who find a lane and stay in their lane and get really good at it are generally better off than not.
It's not about just staying with us. It's just staying with a trainer.
A trainer.
Not like, I know my friend Nara does a lot of training. She's got her regulars now, and I'm really happy she's taken on a few of those that weren't training me all the time. They're now training with her more.
Yeah.
She just does different days than me, and they're improving so much because I was only seeing them now and again, and she's seeing them every week now. Yeah. And because they're sticking to one thing, they're getting better.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
That was your point at the beginning, Jamie. Good one.
Circling back to Jamie. She's a woman of few words today, but when she does speak, she's a mic dropper.
There might be two people here that like talking quite a lot.
I know.
Sorry, Jamie. I'm listening. I'm learning.
Jamie.
Yes.
What is your top, what are your favorite qualities about a coach? Like from not you being a coach, but like, what are the things that are your favorite things about somebody coaching you? Like, what are the things you look for?
I want to be challenged. I want to be pushed. I want someone to be able to say to me and not worry about hurting my feelings, like, you suck at this. so I can get better. Sometimes I already have an idea, but then hearing it from somebody else just makes you want to get better.
Yeah.
Fun. It has to be fun for me too.
Yeah.
What about you, Dave?
Fun. I have to be able to have a laugh. Like, it's so important for me. Like, when it goes wrong, I want to turn around to that trainer and just laugh about it.
Yeah.
Like,
and say, take that.
Don't bring that up. I'm going to tell the story because it's so funny.
What?
So, the first year I was here.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Tunnel threadles. And Jamie's dog hadn't been doing the tunnel threadle. And then it suddenly got good at it. And it was just a particularly hard one. I think everyone else had kind of felt, we'd been taking the piss out of you or something had been happening. And then you did the tunnel and your dog was just about to go through the tunnel. You spun around all of us and take that. So, what did you say?
No. I think she said, take that, take bitches. Take that,
bitches. And just as you said, the dog pulled up the tunnel and backed off somewhere else. And I was on the floor pissing myself. Because this is the timing. You were so proud.
I was very
proud. You had done that tunnel threadle. You were like, take that, bitches. And then it didn't work anyway.
It didn't work. I thought she was in the tunnel.
It was fantastic.
It was good. On the floor.
It was a good
rolling
moment.
Around. It was, made me realize you guys are really funny.
We're all like,
Didn't work. Did I realize it right away?
No, that was not even funnier.
Yeah, because
you were
so.
Facing us and the dog and boy.
She was behind you doing the wrong thing, and you were like gloating to us about how awesome we were, and we were like, your dog literally was awful.
She was
gloating.
I loved it. I'll remember it forever. It was just perfect. The timing.
One of your highlights.
Was amazing.
You can carry that on.
I will.
With all the seminars you can do.
So having good humor is super important to me. Being able to read the dog in front of them, not just say, this is how I do it and that's how I've got to do it for every single dog.
I've trained
a few people with a few people recently like that, and I just did not like their training. I'm not going to name names, of course, but I just did not like them. They just, this is how it should be. This is what I do with my dogs, and that's what it's got to be like for every dog. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just agility. It was just behavioral stuff and everything. I just did not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Read the dog in front of you. Mm-hmm. Every dog's different. It's like, I don't time my goes, do I? Because I know I don't time the goes of other people because I want to give each dog something specific and something more than others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy if I get less time because it means my dog did it right.
Yeah.
I did it right. And they're not killed. Mm-hmm. And dead. So I like to have shorter goes personally. So I don't time. And some people don't like that because they're like, that person had more time than me. Well, surely that's a good thing if your dog did well. So everyone's a bit different with that. But I like to just, that's how I like to do it. So someone that can read the dog and can have a bit of a laugh. And so it's a fun course.
Yep.
What about you?
For me, I like somebody who, I like somebody to be nitpicky with me about things, because I'm very excited about growth for sure. I also like someone that can have a laugh as well.
Yeah.
And the people that I've enjoyed the most training the most with have all had really good dog training sense. And 'cause I'm really into the training, I can compete and I can run a course. That's great. But like, I want like the details. I want the little dog training things. And yeah. I think that really sets apart people, their dog training ability. And then the last thing is, I want somebody who is able to like maintain the attitude. I think because most of the time where I've worked with other people, most often than not, it's been like with like the people who participated at the seminar are like my students or like my group of people. And I'm very motherly towards my people. And I like when a coach is able to push them and still, I want them to leave with confidence yeah. and I want them to feel really good about themselves. I've had a few people teach my students and I feel like I have to run around and like build them up because I felt
them.
Because they were too harsh on them. And then I feel like a bit of a mama bear and yeah. I hate that. I hate the attitude thing. And yeah. we talked about the attitude in the last episode, but so a person has to be able to be pushy, be direct, but also kind.
They have to be kind.
And they also need to be able to say the positives and not just the negatives. They need to be a balance with their information.
I've trained with some people that just give you the negatives and that's great. You want to hear negatives, but you do also want to be told.
It's all about the delivery.
Good. Like, or you've done something well. Mm-hmm. It is the delivery of it. Exactly. And you know, the people I like training with in the world, they are very much like that. They also know when the dog's had enough.
Yeah.
Have a break. We talked a bit about that in the last one as well. Mm-hmm.
You want to feel good after you leave.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Challenge, but good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I want to feel, when I leave a session, I want to feel like you and I, like Jamie and I train every Friday together, just the two of us. No other distractions. We train every single Friday. And sometimes we have great training sessions and sometimes we don't, either because we're talking and we're not efficient or whatever. But sometimes when we leave, it's because we've had a really good training session, eh?
Yeah.
And then we'll be like, okay, like that was a challenge, but like we were great dog trainers today, or I don't know. It's just you have like a certain feeling when you leave. And it's not always because you did so good.
No.
It was because you had some challenges and you worked through it and like
you want to train harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, you definitely we did get that sometimes, you know, we'll walk off afterwards, call the dogs off and go, dogs were a good day. We'll talk about each dog individually. That was a good day. That was a bad day. I want to work on that today. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you leave and you go, oh, I've had a really crappy day. Mm-hmm. This wasn't my day today.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, you just gotta put it aside. But mind you, move on to the next go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's fine to do that. I like the trainers that make you definitely give you something to work on, make you feel good, but also, like you say, nitpicky about the small details too. And say, you need to work on that better.
Yep.
Or sometimes it's not going to get fixed in that session.
Yep.
People want to be fixed then. I say to them, especially if I'm doing a skills session, I say, we're not going to teach your dogs the skills today. I'm giving you the tools to go away and teach your dogs the skills. And that's why I want to get some information from my trainer of how to teach something. I want to say, how do you do that? I just want to know what the end product is. I want to know the stages
How do you get there?
Everyone has a slightly different method. I've asked you a couple of times this time, how do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
I was asking how to get the forward focus and, you know, we do it pretty similar, but it's interesting. I like to see the process.
Yeah.
I like to see the failures.
Yeah.
That's what I do with my online training. I'd show when it goes wrong too.
Yeah.
Because people like to see how you fix stuff.
Yes.
Not just look at my brilliant dog. Flashy. It's amazing.
I know. I always say that. Yeah. I post all my good stuff on Instagram, but on my like online coaching, the videos are like three times as long as I leave in. Pardon?
On Facebook, I'm amazing.
Oh yeah. On Facebook and Instagram, I'm also amazing. I throw a couple of little things in there that aren't so good, but like on everything else, I show all of the good, the bad and the ugly for sure. Yeah. Because that's how people learn. I wanted to say one more thing about coaches. The other thing that I think is really, really important, and this is something for people looking to switch coaches or find a coach or whatever it might be, is the person needs to be good with equally as good as with people as they are dogs. And that's really important because sometimes you need to know
when to put the pressure on.
Yes.
And when to take it off.
Yeah. And you need to be able to read that person. Sometimes I will have somebody that I know this week, I can be a little bit more honest about what I see. And I also know as soon as they come in the arena that something's a bit off and I'm going to be a little easier on that person today. And then maybe later in the week, I'll check in with him and say like, hey, everything cool, blah, 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 blah. Like that's going above and beyond being able to read somebody and knowing when to hold back. And it's not that you're holding back information because you're keeping it from them. It's that you're able to read that person and know what they need in that moment. That is a good coach.
You've got to remember everyone has a personal life as
well. That's right.
And I do think coaches, we do get people come and tell us about
their problems. We're like psychiatrists sometimes.
Yeah, I've always said that. You know, I am actually a trained osteopath as well.
Yes.
And I did treat people for a while before I got into complete dog training. And it was the same thing. People want to come in and talk to you about their problems. You are almost like a psychiatrist. So, and we take a lot of negativity on.
You oddly have a knack about you. I don't know why. I said to JB the other day, she's like, oh, are you having fun with Dave? Are you guys like having lots of good chats? And I was like, it's weird. Like every morning at like 6:30 in the morning when we eat our breakfast sandwiches, we are having the deepest conversations. I'm like, I don't know what is going on.
I'm quite good at I don't even try to get information out of people, but I think I like listening. I like talking.
Yes.
I like hearing stories.
You
and I'm quite open with my own personal life.
Yes, you're very easy to talk to.
I think it's easier to give it back. Mm-hmm. Some people are a lot more guarded. I'm not a very guarded person. No. I probably say way too much, but you wouldn't know.
I love it.
I'm a talker, but I like to talk to people about their lives and find out, and I do have a lot of empathy for people. I think that's why people are sometimes drawn to me as a coach.
Yes, yeah, that's why we love you.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Cute. Well, hopefully this podcast was nicer than I thought it was gonna be. It's normally when we talk about this, we're usually very fired up about how irritated we are about people popping around different instructors. And I hope that people understand, like can learn from some of the things that we say that we hate about it. There are some good things, but there's mostly bad things.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't about what?
We were being good.
We were.
It irritates us.
it really does irritate us. But it's only because
we care.
We want the best for you. And again, this isn't about us specifically. It's about any coach out there, I'm sure, probably shares the similar feelings to how we feel about people moving around. But anyways, hopefully you can find different people that train similar to you and that have similar values and things like that. And you can do, like what we do, bring in other people from time to time and whatever.
The other thing is super important to me is that they are nice to the dogs. Yeah. I want my dogs, all the dogs I train love me. And I've seen the dogs you train too. Mm-hmm. They come up to you and say hi. I love that.
Yeah, I love that too.
I love my students' dogs. I really love them. Like, I want them to come in. I go, hi. And the ones ignore me, I'm like, oh, what's wrong with you today? I want, come here. I'm going to give you a cuddle. You know, some of them are just a bit aloof and they don't. But on the whole, they'll bring me the toy.
Yep.
They want to play with me. They're like that. Fuck you, owners. I'm going to see Dave.
Absolutely.
I'm the positive one that does all the rewarding at the right time and blah, blah, blah. So that's something super important. I want to train. I want that person to like my dog.
Yes.
I really do. Like, I want them to ask questions. I want them to say hello to my dog. And maybe not Susan. She'll growl at them. But and she gets to know you in a minute. But the others, I like it. They say something nice about your dog. You know, when I first started teaching, I learned from a lady called Jo Fraser. And she kind of taught me initially that, but you know, very early on, we're very different now, but early on she was great. And she said, she took me on one of her training day because she knew I wanted to get into training. She said, even if you've got nothing good to say about their agility, say one thing nice about that dog, that person's dog, even if they've got a nice tail, like just say something nice. You know, it was probably the best bit of information I've ever been given, because people love to hear positive about the dog.
Yes,
and I'm not lying when I say
it's
I like their
children.
Tail.
Yeah.
I might like their tail, but I will try and say, unless it's not a really horrible dog, you know, get the odd dog that you just really hate, but most dogs you can find
there's
positive.
Something likable.
Of course, I love dogs. That's why we all do dog training. We love dogs.
Yeah.
That was probably the best bit of information I ever got given. Was like just that. Say something nice about their dog. Like, it doesn't have to be agility related.
Yeah.
And I always tend to, like, even I bring up people's coats and like that little dog yesterday with the little white sock. I said, I love that dog's markings. It looks like it stepped in paint. That's cool. But I always try and, they're not on purpose now. It's just a natural thing that I do now.
Yeah.
But I think that's super important for a trainer when I look for that they are actually going to be interested in my dog as well. Not just give me their information. I want them to be interested.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Well, pick your coaches wisely. They'll probably pick you wisely too.
That's true. If you don't hear back from us, you know why.
Yep, you're hopping around too much. Pick a lane. No, I think that that's really important. And I think that if you are, you know, wanting to learn from different people, learn about that person and learn about, you know, watch their handling style, learn about how they train. Maybe instead of getting a working spot, go and audit that seminar. And then that way you don't have to like work your dog directly. And then maybe you'll find out pleasantly that they're really great, a really great option for you, and then work with them the next time or whatever it might be. But I think it's important to create consistency around you.
Well said.
Good talk, guys.
Good talk, guys. All right. On that note, we're going to thank Dave for jumping in on our podcast. What a way to start off our season.
Thanks, so fun. Dave.
Thanks
for inviting me.
We love you so much.
Love you too, guys.
And we have a bunch more topics, in the on the list that we're going to get to, but this was great. Thank you so much, Dave.
No worries.